Good evening, everybody. The approval of the minutes of the meeting at Stormy Council held on the 18th of March 2025 as published on the Council website.
Aye.
Thank you. Apologies for absence, please. Mr. Mayor, received apologies from Councillors Mayfair, Councillor Gareth Jones, Councillor James Nixon, and Councillor Peter Agella. Any declarations of interest, please? Mark? Declaration of interest.
I've been involved with the motion for farming. I have been advised that as a farmer I should declare that. And it's obviously a personal interest because it's about the whole farming community. I would like Ian Brothers just to sort of make sure to ensure that that's correct and I'm not overstepping any boundaries.
So if it's a matter that affects one of your interests, then you should declare it. Whether you can then proceed to take part in the debate and vote depends on whether a reasonable member of the public, in light of all the facts, would think that that interest would prejudice your judgments of the wider public interest. So it depends what the aspect of the motion is and whether you feel that applies in this case.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In view of that advice, I'll take a personal interest and speak on the agenda item, but I won't vote.
Announcements,
Mr. Mayor. Could I declare the same interest as well, please?
I'm not a farmer, but my partner's family are farmers. He has inherited a farm, but we don't live there and we don't farm there.
So the question is whether they're a close associate. You might be associates of a close associate, and if so, whether you think it's close proximity in order to affect your judgment of why you're interested in this matter.
I don't believe so.
No. Okay. Have we finished the announcements. Our three petitions. Thank you to those who support the charity of Munster Stafford College and also the Bayside College of Stafford College. Both events were successful and well supported. The final fundraising event of my mayor of the year will be the Rock and Roll Charity Night on Friday the 9th of May at the Stafford Rangers Social. Tickets are available through the mayor's office. Thank you. Public question time.
No, Mr. Mayor.
No. Council session.
No, Mr. Mayor.
So we now move to the notice of motion. Over by Councillor E.G. Lewis and E. Alcard.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm proposing this motion because Councillor Pearce can't be here this evening because he is on his honeymoon. My understanding with this motion is that I will propose it and then it will then have to go back to Cabinet and then we'll come back to Council following consideration of Cabinet. But it has to come to full Council because the original decision was made at full Council. As the motion says, in 2019, the Borough declared a climate emergency and agreed a date of 2040 to achieve net zero carbon emissions. Councillor Pearce has fed back to us as a group that the success that the Council is having means that it is possible to move this date to an earlier point and this motion sets out the process to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Is this a point of order?
Sorry?
Is this a point of order?
No, it's actually just to confirm that this does have to go back to Cabinet because of cost implications.
Yeah, you take that.
go straight to cabinet without debate tonight. We will need a seconder to actually move it forward.
Seconding, Mr.
Mayor. This will now be referred to cabinet.
You all understand that, and now we refer to cabinet.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, councillors. Probably more a point of what's going to happen after cabinet. Is cabinet going to provide us with a statement in relation to this? Because previously things have gone to cabinet, like the cost of living crisis, which then doesn't come back out to this body. And if this body is raising it, it should come back to this body, in my view.
In fact, yes, it would be referred to the formal cabinet, and then they will likely recommend to council because the original proposition with the net zero target was made by the full council.
Thank you.
Okay, you happy with that? Right, we move on to item B, notice the motion to paragraph 13.1 of the council procedure rules as proposed by the councillor N.J. Williamson and K. M. Aspen as follows.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Before I start, could I be slightly selfish and say thank you to all of the people on both sides of the chamber who wished me well while I was in the Royal Stoke. It really does help when you've got people are rooting for you, regardless of the colour, and it also helps when you know the big man's behind you watching what goes on. Not Santa Claus now. So as I say, thank you so much for all your thoughts. In terms of the motion, as I mentioned earlier, this is not about me, it's about the fact that we are living in a rural county. And once the elections have gone, we'll still be living in a rural county, and I hope that the thoughts are still the same as they are now. We have in Staffordshire got a proud history of farming and food production. Local farmers have embraced the Green Revolution, the Sustainable Farming Initiative, and even solar power, they're not happy about it, but they do realise that on the less productive land it's possibly worth looking at other alternatives. But for some reason, this government we've got at the moment seems to take a heinous dislike, in particular to pensioners, to small businesses and to farmers. And this motion you've got in front of you, I won't read it out, quite simply asks that the three local MPs and this council write to the government, not just the Prime Minister, but also the ministers from DEFRA, and ask them, Rachel from Accounts, and please ask them if they would think again about the tax rules, the inheritance tax rules, which has really upset the farming community. Many of the small to medium-sized farms go over the barriers of what's been proposed, and it is sad. There are cases, and we just feel as an industry that we're being picked on, and there are cases of farmers who've basically taken their lives. They can't see what the future is going to be, and I don't think this is a political thing from this side. And I think there's a motion coming forward from the other side as well. Please look after our farmers, look after our small business that rely on farmers, because they're a multitude as well. This is something that is incredibly sad. They can instill these rules in the metropolitan areas if they want, but leave farming alone. Let us produce food, let us produce fuel, and let us produce an environment that people want to live in. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
That sounds good.
Does that second?
Yeah. I second.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, our farms are a very important part of the borough life. Not only do they produce food that we eat, they manage the countryside that we enjoy. So we are very respectful of the work they actually put in for us. The countryside wouldn't look like we expect it to look if it wasn't for farms. So we appreciate that, all of that. And we take that on board when we talk about farms. It's not just food production, it's the husbandry of the countryside as well. When I held your office, Mr. Mayor, a few years back, lots of the calls I made as Mayor were to farms and the farming community, things like the young farmers, etc. What you do is you get a feeling for farm life and how a family actually runs the business, and it is a business. It's passed down from father to son to daughter. It was an eye opener for me, but it sort of confirmed, you know, that these people work really, really hard for their businesses, and I fully support them in that. And what I thought the council to do is that we do support them in the tasks that they have. And so I'd like to propose an amendment to the motion that's before us in the agenda. Probably a little less political than what's actually on the agenda, because it is a little bit political, Council Livingston, in parts, and it does mention my political party a few times, not in a particularly nice way. So what I'd prefer to do is have a council motion that we can all get behind, and we can give the farmers 100% of this council's support. So it's non-political, shows our support for the farming community, and gives a united front of the council, as I said, to these hard-working people who deserve our support. Now, I believe there are some copies of the amendment here that are going to be handed out. And the reason we're doing that is because it's quite substantial, the changes. And I think probably the best thing to do is, Mr. Mayor, is if people can have a look at it for a minute or two, just to before I carry on. If you're agreeable to that. We got permission, Mr. Mayor, I'll carry on, is that okay? That's probably a long view of Mr. Mayor. As you can see, the proposed amendment to the motion is quite short, but it's to the point and it's supportive. I'll just read it out. It says, Council determines to write to the members of Parliament covering the Stafford Borough area to draw their attention to the concerns felt by a local farming community in respect of the changes in inheritance tax relief on agricultural property introduced in the autumn budget and a sustainable farming incentive. The council expresses support for the farming community and its contribution to the borough. It urges government to give full support to measures designed to assist farmers to work sustainably and in a way that supports nature recovery. And I think that's a much more supportive motion than what was originally put before this. And I think that's something that all the council could get behind, rather than just one particular party. So I hope you take that in the spirit it's been given. It's a friendly amendment, and I'll move that, Mr. Mayor.
Is that seconded?
Sorry,
right, so I've got Councillor Edgman.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Supporting farmers. Stafford is losing its identity as a market town in the middle of England and becoming a community town. If we carry on building houses, there will not be a blade of grass left in Stafford, let alone farmland to grow our much needed food. Houses and solar farms will cover our landscape. It will be interesting to know how many farmers have taken their own lives because of the worry our farming industry, the way our farming industry is going. This Labour government should be ashamed of themselves by not looking after our farming industry. I will be supporting this motion, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
I've got Councillor Brett Dacrose. Dacrose first, if you don't mind. Go down the. Oh, you want to speak? Right. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to speak against this amendment. The proposer has suggested that this makes it less political. However, I actually think that this amendment makes it more political. It basically it takes the politics from being locating the blame for the concerns that are being raised directly with the government. It takes that away. It removes the clear identity of the issue that's being looked at here and tries to soften that. And I think that that in itself is a significantly more political act than the original motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I absolutely agree with the previous speaker. I think what is really important to understand is that this motion is simply asking members of Parliament to appreciate that farmers have a problem with the government's on farm tax. The family farm tax, as they call it. It doesn't say anything. It actually is simply, I mean, the MPs are all very familiar with the arguments being put forward because so many of us have put those forward already. And you don't need another organisation to just put forward what the case is being made for the farmers without stating the case that is the case that the Borough Council should be making. I think this is absolutely ridiculous, this motion.
Mr. Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I'd like to just zone in to one aspect of the original motion, and that is the sustainable farming incentive. Now, the impression given in the motion is that it's closing. It says quite clearly, close the sustainable farming incentive and ask that they reverse this decision. It's not closing.
It will
be. Wait till I finish. Perhaps they should have done a bit of research before they actually wrote this, because I thought I'd look into it myself. And so I got onto the website, and this is what it says. It says, the largest of the schemes, SFI, which is a Sustainable Farming Initiative, now has more than 37,000 multi-year live agreements and is not only delivering sustainable food production and nature's recovery for today and the years ahead, but it's also putting money back into farmers' pockets. However, This government inherited an uncapped scheme. The previous government hadn't capped the scheme, despite a finite farming budget. So the uncapped scheme, finite budget. They don't go into each other. The highest ever level of participation in SFI means that the maximum limit has now been achieved. Therefore, as it's reached its completion, the government is stopping accepting new SFI applications today. That was about the 11th of March. But it goes on to say, there will be a new and improved SFI on offer with details to follow the spending review, which is in June. So there will be a new SFI on offer after the spending review. And it goes on to list the sort of things that are going to happen in the SFI, which I won't bore you with, but they're all good news for farmers. So it is a nonsense. It's a misrepresentation to say that the scheme is closing as if it is closing permanently. It has only been stopped because it was uncapped against a finance budget, and it's going to be reinstituted, resurrected, in a new improved form after the spending review in June. Now, whether that's misinformation or disinformation, i.e. whether it was an inadvertent mistake by the framers of this motion, or a deliberate porky pie, I don't know. But in either event, had you done the research which I'd have done, you might not have been quite so quick to judge. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I actually think that the original motion and perhaps a later amendment is exactly the right kind of political, and in fact, I think that this amendment isn't. When I was elected in May 2023 to represent one of the most rural wards in this borough and the people of Sighton and Churcheaton, I'd like to think that they would expect me to stand up for their interests in this chamber and explain and have on record their concerns. And their concerns as members of the rural farming community are the concerns that are contained within the motion. So I do not think that this makes it less political. I think that the motion itself, originally, and perhaps later amendment that you may bring, is the right kind of political. It's exactly what we're here to do. To represent the residents of Suffolk Borough and not represent parties elected in Westminster. So actually, it's exactly the right kind of political that we raise these issues on behalf of the people of our own, and someone who represents an incredibly rural community. I think it's the right thing that we're doing, raising those issues, and not moving them down to a couple of sound bites which sound less political, but in fact are not.
Yeah, I'm not speaking in support of the amendment. The original notion seems to be that the government is forcing farmers to have solar panels on the land. But in all the instances I've read about it, it's actually farmers asking to have solar farms on their land, particularly the less productive land, to increase their income. So, in a way, this motion is almost saying we want to reduce farm income. Thank you.
I'd love to.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. There's a couple of points I wanted to pick up, and I was, as part of the main motion, going to talk particularly about some of the experiences over the last couple of months wandering around and talking to various farmers, but given that there is an amendment on the table, I just want to restrict my comments to that amendment, with the one exception of just literally trying to understand where Councillor Cook is, because it's really clear. It says, as of the 5th of April 2025, the Sustainable Farming Initiative, SFI, scheme is closed to new applicants. And I think that's really as clear as day, and I think that is exactly what is covered in the
look at Gov Don.
I do like his bravery in committing his government to what is going to happen in June, given that the government can't tell us in July of last year what they're going to do a few months later with things like winter fuel. But in reflection, I think it is important that the council does talk as one voice. I think, and that was the purpose of bringing the motion in the first place. It was important that we debated some of these issues and tried to come to a point that we could agree on to demonstrate to our communities that we have listened to their voice and that we have taken very seriously some of the impacts that are being met upon them. The bit I really have a problem with this motion on is writing to MPs, frankly, who are backbenchers, who have no political clout or might, who might once every so often get the ear of another minister, I think is probably a pointless exercise. And I, for one, would struggle to support the amendment as it stands when it is asking to write to just the members of Parliament locally. Yes, they are elected voice, but they already know about these issues because, frankly, I've written to the local MP and there are others who have done so on a regular basis and nothing has happened. Instead, I think that the voice of council needs to go to the policy makers, the decision makers, and that is who was originally outlined within the original motion, and instead to copy the three MPs to make sure they've got something to follow up on. So as it stands, unless there is an amendment to this amendment, I would struggle to support it.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to agree with Councillor Pert on the point about making representation in time for the June amendment. After June, it's too late. Now's the chance to petition as the policymakers, as a council, to get these things changed. It's extremely arguable what we'll get in June. Very debatable. Nobody knows. I suspect the government doesn't even know. What we do know is that farmers have taken their own lives because of the intense pressure they're under. And that's just not acceptable in any industry. What we've also got is a future that worries me. Because the whole idea of the inheritance tax to me seems bizarre. If farmers are forced to sell off their farm because they can't pay their inheritance tax, or their inheritors can't pay it, then what's left? The farm is going to be broken up. It's going to be broken up into smaller, less efficient units, run possibly by people who've come into a bit of money and fancy having a go at it, and may or may not keep our food supply going. It may be bought up by even bigger businesses, mega farms. That's the last thing we want. The experience that's there through families over the years, and I've seen it in friends in the farming community, the experience that's there, the passion that's there, will be lost. And that, to me, is unthinkable. Thank you.
Dear Councillor McKinnon.
Mr. Mayor, I shook my hand up about 8 people ago and was acknowledged you put my hand up. And I still get to speak despite other people speaking highest of me. That's not how we're supposed to run council. I deserve a right to speak when I put my hand up and not after about 10 other people.
I think the amendment actually encapsulates and summarises the original motion, but it takes out some of the sort of rhetoric that has no real place in anything that we write to government. Words like dismay, reverse the damaging, who needs support, not attack the farming industry. The summary proposed by Councillor Godfrey does everything that you say, but it takes out all that emotive rhetoric in there. And I think it's much more professional to have that amendment rather than what we're proposing, which I'm capable of writing things on the spur of the moment that have got stuff in it that I really should take out. But I think this has been written and then not thought about again. And so I will support the amendment.
Councillor Phillips.
I'm appalled that you think that anything's been written on the spur of the moment, considering this is an issue that's been going on for a very long time, and the fellow councillor lives in a rural area, so you should really understand
that.
But I also think it's a wishy-washy amendment that you're putting forward. It's a serious issue. It's not a wishy-washy issue. People are losing their lives over this. They're losing their livelihoods over this. There's a charity, Farm Safety Foundation, said its research suggests that 95% of young farmers believe that poor mental health is the biggest hidden problem facing the industry.
Mm-hmm.
The government have said that they're tackling the mental health crisis in the farming communities by investing billions of pounds and recruiting 8,500 mental health professionals across the NHS. But why? Surely lifting the pressures that's being faced by our local farming community is going to save money and improve their mental health. In 2021, BBC did a survey that suggested that one in three farmers at that time were affected by mental health, and this is now a lot, lot higher. The pressures facing the families is beyond most people's, and apparently a lot of people, even in this chamber's, comprehension. You don't have time to be depressed. Farming doesn't stop. Everyone's counting on you, your animals, your family, and you have to keep going on. There have been rising production costs, extreme weather events, and the facing of the issues that have been faced not only by the pressures from last October's budget, but the subsidies ending. Thousands of farmers are struggling. They're working long hours on their own, and they're still putting food on every single person in here's table. The government said that the only reform to agricultural and business property relief was fair and balanced and affecting only about 500 estates a year, and this has been shown that it's not the case. With these changes, rural businesses have claimed that they'll have to sell land, their businesses and their homes in order to pay the inheritance tax. 5 months have nearly passed since the autumn budget, and they've still been protesting across the country to fight for their futures. They've sent a clear message that there is a need to safeguard the future of family farming, and these changes are going to devastate rural communities and only see more farmers facing depression and the possibility of even more farming families losing their loved ones through suicide due to the pressure that this government has imposed on them. We've got to make a stand here in this chamber. We've got to show our support before it's too late, and the vast majority of this industry and the land that people farm is lost. I think that you need to really consider what you're saying, because it's not representational of the people who farm in our borough. It's a wishy-washy interpretation of something that needs to be written strongly. The government need to understand how this is affecting our residents in our borough, and that's not the way to go forward.
Thank you. Anything else? Councillor
Dodson. So, right replies would be the order of Councillor Billington and then Councillor
Dodson. All right. Councillor Billington next.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's really heartening that as a chamber, we're discussing the very, very real problems that the farming industry faces at the moment. I've mentioned before, and the personal interest perhaps shouldn't have come from me, it should have come from my son who wants to farm. I've got two sons, one wants to farm. And those are the guys that are going to be really impacted on by the inheritance tax. And perhaps they're the ones that we should be giving some mental health assurance. And I know in the farming industry there are several organisations that are struggling to support farmers. In terms of the amendments, I can see what's been said about things to make it less political. I can see the sense in that. However, making it zero political and zero impact sort of denigrates the whole thing to something which is a bit like bagging fog. I must say that if Councillor Cook had sat at breakfast tables on that morning when the government just, without any warning at all, said, oh, by the way, we're stopping SFI, no more sustainable farming income. Anyone who's spent 100 hours plus putting applications together, forget it. We're not interested. And that's not from the DEFRA pages, and I've read all the DEFRA pages. That's from what farmers, and myself included, have been told. And I think, as has been said, Councillor Cook's very brave saying with the comeback in June. You might find one or two farmers parked outside your house with a combine harvester on the
welcome.
I also have a problem in so much as the amendment, while it mentions SFI, and we've heard what's been said about SFI, it doesn't mention inheritance tax and the fact that we need to do something serious as a country about that. It doesn't mention food security and the fact that you haven't seen it yet, but I can almost guarantee the farmers have now started holding back milling wheat, so get your bread and put it in the freezer, because at some point there's going to be a problem there. When they start with poultry, chickens and meat, we will start having supply issues in the supermarkets. And I can assure you, the farming community is really angry, to the point of being apoplectic about it. And I think this is something that, as I've said before, it's not something that we're making up. It's real, it's out there. Another thing that farmers are really concerned about, and I can take you to a fruit farmer not far away, who's going to lose somewhere in the region of £135,000 because of the national insurance contributions that have come in, taking it from 9,000 to 5,000, and just basically hitting those guys, along with lots of small businesses. The property developers, and I take the point that was made from the other side, that farmers are talking to property developers, and they are talking to solar farms, because they can see this dire situation where their farms are becoming unprofitable. Though they've never been that profitable, 1% return on your income is deadly. I mean, I went to London once and someone said, why don't you just get three houses in Ealing, you'll make a lot more money, because they thought I was making £10,000 a month, not £10,000 a year. Farming has never been a rich thing. The reason you get big farms is because every generation builds a little bit more up. And the same with property developers and solar farms. Farmers are looking for some sort of way of keeping their business going. This is very, very sad. And I'm afraid that because we've been offered a very watered down amendment, had it been stronger, I would have accepted it, but I can't accept it as it stands. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Something I don't often do, in fact, I don't think I've ever done it before in the council chamber. I'm going to share my working week with you, okay? Because I actually work for a living. This is my hobby. My working week in the next 5 days, I shall be contacting or visiting at least 13 farms. I do know quite a bit about the farming community, not just what I said at the beginning. I have two wives, and my professional life, I do visit farmers, and I know their problems and I know their issues. And I have to say, I'm extremely disappointed that the council I sit on cannot give a united voice in support of farmers.
That would, to me, that's really sad. You may notice I've not been in any way pointing fingers and saying you should do this, you should do that. What I'm saying is I support the farmers and the plight they're in. I think this is the best way to support them. It is thought through. They aren't just grabbed out of the air. This is a well thought out and hopefully inclusive amendment to the motion. And sadly, it looks like it's going to come to a vote. And I really did genuinely want to keep away from that. I wanted a united front that the farmers would know, the staff of the council appears, and yes, we hope things get better for us soon. Mr. Mayor, I do think that the amendment put forward tonight from us here is the correct way forward, the best way forward, and I do hope members opposite and behind me do see there is something in that and they will support it. Thank you very much.
Vote on the amendment. All those in favour of the amendment, please show. Those against?
I think there are some concerns that do need to be added back into this, so that, and I think that that is something that we should be trying to do to try and find the unanimity that has been discussed across the chamber. So I've got some copies, not those because these were printed at home by me. That's to the original motion. This is to the one as amended.
You have got, from where it says, so the motion now reads, that's still the motion you want to put forward.
It's pretty bad as well. So it's very simple. If you could just give me those, but I also have another step which looks slightly different because the outcome is slightly different.
Which is clear to spread around. Is it your version?
Probably this one, yeah.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, can we be clear what we are getting? It's not a probably this one, or probably that
this
one.
Is
we need to have the actual amendment which has been moved.
It's being distributed right now.
a two. It's in two pages. So you, there's. Sorry. No, no, it's double sided. You should be. So in order to try and find a set of words that we can try and find unanimity with this, I am proposing that we the first thing that we do is to add in at the beginning a statement that very, very clearly and unequivocally proposes support for farmers and the farming community within Stafford Borough. Following on from that, so there's two paragraphs at the beginning which cover that. Following on from that, I'm proposing that we reinsert the destination for the communication about this issue, so that it includes the Prime Minister, the Chancellor, the Secretary of State for DEFRA. In addition to that, I'm proposing that it is the group leaders of the council, so we can demonstrate that unanimity across the council, who are sending that letter, not just the leader of the council. And then finally, to re-include at the end the ask that is missing from the amended motion. So that it's really clear that what we're asking them to do, to reconsider the thresholds for the agricultural property relief and business property relief, to ensure that ordinary family farms are not penalised, to take action to plug the income gap left by BPS cuts, which is actually something that's been left out of both versions of the motion, and to restart sustainable farming incentive. So I think that this is a set of words which I intend to bring a greater degree of unanimity, so that the motion itself has the some of the emotive language which members have spoken about has been taken out of it, but it still has that teeth, it still has that clear destination, it still has a clear approach to it, but retains all of the proposed language which was has just been amended.
Is everybody clear?
This is absurd, Mr. Mayor. Everyone's got to have a copy of the amendment.
So it's part of that. Just to make sure all members read it. And if you want to read it out, you know.
Yes,
that would be great.
Just read it out.
Mr. Mayor, I can read it if that will help. So the impact of the amendment would be to say the farmers of Stafford Borough perform a vital service for us all in growing crops and raising animals for our food and clothing. Yet in recent years, governments have not appreciated this, and the new government has further eroded confidence among farmers and the suppliers and contractors that support them. We are a rural council and we have a large number of farming families who contribute to the economy of Stafford Borough, and farming can be a key driver for nature recovery and mitigating the impacts of climate change. The climate resolves that the group leaders of the council write to the members of parliament covering the Stafford Borough area, the Prime Minister, Chancellor and Secretary of State for the Department of Environment, Food and Rural Affairs to draw their attention to the concerns felt by the farming community in respect of the changes to inheritance tax relief on agricultural property introduced in the autumn budget and the sustainable farming incentive, and calls on the government to reconsider the thresholds for agricultural property relief and business property relief to ensure that ordinary family farms are not penalised, take action to plug the income gap left by BPS cuts and the delayed rollout of the agricultural transition scheme plans, and restart sustainable farming incentive with immediate effect as the flagship green farming scheme. The council expresses its support for the farming community and its contribution to the borough. It urges the government to give full support to measures designed to assist farmers to work sustainably and in a way that supports nature recovery.
Is that seconded by Councillor Bird?
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, the motion resolves that the group leaders of the council write to members of parliament. I don't think the council can demand that the group leaders do that. You have to do one response from the council, so that must be obviously something appointed by the council. So it could be just a leader or an officer of the council.
You don't think that we can? Sorry, you suggest that we can't work together to write a letter?
You can't have a resolution from the council demanding the individual group leaders write it. That's not really the power of the council.
But we're resolving it. We're resolving that we will.
Group leaders are influenced by the council.
Okay.
They're not an officer or an office of the council. So yeah, it has to be an office of the council or an officer of the council.
Which section of the Constitution is it that requires that?
Point of order.
It's the law, it's the fact.
Sorry, then which bit of legislation requires that?
Point of order. Mr. Mayor, the relevant group leaders are all here. And if those group leaders so decide that they want to author a letter jointly which is supported by all members of council, I don't see why we wouldn't be able to do that. Maybe not in her, maybe that is an issue to avoid, but come the 2nd of May, I don't see why we couldn't be sending a letter to government.
Absolutely, it's been a gift of an individual if you want to sign it as a letter. I'm saying you can't have a council resolution now demanding that an individual send a letter unless they are an officer or an officer of the council. Group leaders are appointed by their groups, they're not appointed by the council. So you'd have to choose an office of the council, such as the leader, because this is a representation on behalf of the council pursuant to a resolution of council.
The question still stands. Like, I've asked a direct question, which bit of legislation is it that means that that's not possible, if that's the legislation?
Which bit of legislation is saying that's what you're suggesting?
You're the person saying that something can't be done, so because that's what the law says. I'm suggesting that this is a motion that we are able to debate, and the council is able to debate this, because there isn't a piece of legislation that says that that's not possible. Particularly as I know that this motion, or a motion that looks an awful lot like this, has already been passed by County Durham Council.
So my advice, Mr. Mayor, is that a group leader is not an office of the council, so you cannot have a council resolution that requires them to take action. If they agree to take an action individually, that's fine, but they're not an officer of the council. They're not appointed by the council, therefore you cannot resolve demanding that they do something. That's my advice.
I'm not sure if this point. Can I suggest perhaps the wording of the leader with support of the group leader's rights? So the council leader authors, sends the letter with support of the group leaders. So that the communication to the government comes from the leader of the council, but is supported by the group leaders who, in this room, may well suggest that they are in support of that. I.e., they may be signatories or supportive people, but they will not be the official author of the letter. Is that something that fits within the purview? Does that work?
So again, what you're after here is a majority decision on council. That's what the minutes reflect. And that's what the election reflects, the majority decision. You don't have to have everyone agree with that decision for it to happen. So we can't demand that. It may be in practice that all group leaders do agree. An outside leader may well agree to it. I don't know. I'm just talking on a technical point. We cannot have a council resolution that requires an individual to do something that the council has no power to direct them to do.
So we could change it to the leader of the council then? And that would be an appropriate amendment. In that case, that's what I would like to suggest. That's okay.
I'll second that still.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I think it is totally unacceptable that people can't get their act together and seek advice as to what they can and cannot present to this council. Standing up and now trying to put an amendment to an amendment is a nonsense. We do get told that we can contact all of the officers at any time for any advice we want. What's wrong with following rules, aren't we? This is a nonsense of us having a medical challenge. They should have sought advice before they came here tonight and took up our time to talk with them.
Just a point of order, you can make an amendment to an amended motion.
I was just going to speak on the amendment. Are we out on stage yet? Or?
Yeah, come on.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate the previously suggested amendment, but I do not believe it is robust enough to protect our local family farms and ensure self-sufficiency for locally grown products. I also agree with Councillor McEwen that the original motion was too full of rhetoric. Therefore, I am proud to support this amendment. As I live and represent a rural ward, I understand the uncertainty felt by many small family farms from the changes introduced by the government. Whilst I support the idea of cracking down on using farms for tax avoidance, especially regarding the life of Jeremy Clarkson, who admitted to buying his own farm to avoid tax, I understand the concern felt by genuine small family farmers. I therefore believe our amendment to this motion ensures that farmers will be genuinely supported to work alongside nature, ensuring biodiversity, the protection of a countryside, and a strong self-sufficiency for locally grown products and British farmers. Thank you, Mr. Mann.
Thank you. Anybody else want to speak? No? The amendment now goes to vote. All those in favour, please show clearly. Against?
Intently to what the Leader of the Council said. I think he was declaring an interest, but maybe he could just confirm that for us, given his association with his, his private business.
I did check with Mr. Gore this morning about my interest.
Thank you.
You voted on?
Yep.
again, we didn't have to have abstention.
Abstention counts absolutely. I'm going to close four abstentions. Four of five abstentions. Now we're down to go five abstentions.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm not going to go through the whole of the motion that is before you, but I would like to comment on the aspects and implications of it. And my first thing is, why are we facing these efforts by the government to dilute and bypass the role of councillors, to deny us a voice? Does this government intend carte blanche for the developers to build, baby, build? It does seem so. And why is this government striking out the rights of local people in the planning process and their clamour to build, baby, build? And why are the government giving themselves extensive powers to control and manipulate local planning committees, severely restricting the role of elected members, removing democratic accountability at the point where consents are granted? The voices of local people and our parish councils will not be heard at the planning committee. And why is that? Because everyday planning decisions are no longer to be made there. And yet that's the place where elected members reflect local concerns and represent our communities. We know and we understand our area. By shifting unchallengeable control to local officers and to remote national decision makers, we're going to alienate our public and erode trust in local democracy. And what a time to do it, given the shift towards large unitary authorities. As to the disturbing democratic deficit for our rural people, and we've been talking about the role of rural people quite a lot tonight, planning committee members will only be allowed to debate proposals dictated as large developments. For a rural settlement in this borough, a large development could be a few, or a few dozen tenants, not hundreds, but the platform for our local people, for their borough and parish councils to express their views has been swept away if this bill goes through, and that's plainly wrong. At what price do we have to confront unrestricted sprawl? This legislation is going to exacerbate poor quality housing, built at pace and massive scale, to inadequate energy efficiency and design standards. The bill does not contain any measures to ensure that affordable, healthy homes are built, no link up between the Climate Change Act and planning decisions, no effort to give planning a positive, visionary purpose around sustainable development and the welfare of future generations. There's no reference to demanding high-quality homes to support rather than undermine people's health, well-being and life chances. This government's deliberately marginalising the voice of our communities over decisions which have a profound impact on their lives. Just build, baby, build.
Is that seconded?
Yes, it's now seconded the motion. We live in an environment with the backdrop of mass development and the risk of unfettered building. And some communities will be threatened with development at a pace and a speed that we have never seen in the development of those settlements. And the whole nature of how settlements have grown and developed will change overnight on the face of decision making that is away from the people. Individuals and communities rely on their elected representatives to be their knowledge, to be their insight, and to be, most importantly, their voice, particularly when they are individuals who are fighting against big corporate entities. Those voices provide insight locally, which is critical to ensuring that planning applications, particularly as we're talking about the larger planning applications, they need to fit within the framework of the area that they are being developed in. That sort of debate and challenge from local representatives improves planning applications in many cases. Planning is about the acceptability of development in that place. And I think that the government's proposals, as they stand, to remove the voice of councillors from planning committees and being able to call in and debate planning applications, particularly the largest ones, is a mistake. But don't get me wrong, some of the legislation within the Planning and Infrastructure Bill actually takes things further forward. But there are certain areas that need challenge, and this is most definitely one of them, so I'm delighted to second the motion.
Councillor Kenny.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to take this opportunity to propose an amendment. And the reason for that is, given that there are inaccuracies within the paragraphs prior to the operative part of this motion, if we are going to ask the leader to write, let's be informed with the correct information to enable us to make the right decision. And I'll give you an example. More than doubling housing delivery numbers in the borough to 826 per annum is incorrect. Currently, our current plan is 500 houses per year. And even the inherited plan, or the preferred options, Reg 18, is 535. If my maths is not correct, 826 is not double any number. And therefore, the supposed justification for failure of staff at Borough to produce any new local plan in the past 24 months is by inheriting a plan at Regulation 18 stage. The inherited plan at Regulation 18 stage contained Meesbrook at the centre of its housing allocation. 3,000 homes within the plan and another 3,000 looking further ahead. This council received £1 million to investigate the viability of Meesbrook Garden Community and to gather the evidence base required to progress a plan. Gathering the evidence base is a huge task that would not have been created in time to progress a plan with any speed from Reg 18. Carrick Chase Council started their new plan process at the same time as Stafford Borough Council did. But they were years ahead because they didn't need the huge evidence base for the garden community. The inherited Reg 18 plan proved to be unworkable because without the finalised evidence base from Eastbrook, the garden community for 3,000 homes could not be included. And then we go on to the lack of guarantees that new homes will be built to high quality standards to support rather than undermine people's health, well-being and life chances, nor to meet the need of climate change, perpetuating the failings of the current large developers like poor quality housing. In fact, the new MPPF covers design in section 12, and that can be included within our plan. You have the wordings of my amendment. If you could distribute that.
Councillor
Corbyn. Is that seconded, by the way?
I not second the amendment. That was Councillor Reid.
No, I didn't say you seconded, but you put the amendment. No,
I was just waiting.
What are you doing? Councillor Hugh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Whilst I appreciate what Councillor Beattie is saying here, as Councillor Kenny points out, 535 to 826 isn't doubling, it's about 50%. But I think we might be in danger of being accused of whinging baby boomers who enjoyed in the 60s and 70s, not so much, obviously, who could afford houses being built at a rate that was quite significant at the time, and with mortgages provided by mutual building societies like Stafford Railway, who offered favourable interest rates to savers and turned those investments into mortgages for local people to purchase, on many occasions, their first property. We owe it to future generations that they have the same opportunity as what we had to be able to get on the property ladder. And that may mean that we have to build houses at a greater speed and in places that are sustainable. And I think that is the most important thing. Not plonk them anywhere, they have to be sustainable. And they have to provide amenities and facilities within that that benefits the new residents and any residents that bump up against them. Interesting fact, I know you'll like this one. Back in the 70s, a car at the time was the Ford Cortina. Ford Cortina, great car. It had a width, in all money, of 67 inches. And a garage was 84 inches wide at the time. I've got a Kia Sportage, which is pretty normal size now. It's 73.5 inches wide. So it's 6.5 inches wider than a Cortina. Guess what the width of a garage is these days? 2.4, except that's still 84 inches, 7 feet. And developers are getting away with saying this is a garage space, and in fact, it can't take a car. So we can be a bit more savvy, and we can say, right, if you do have developments, a car has to fit in a garage, and a car parking space has to be bigger than what you're saying. We can make those changes locally. We can impose that on the developers. And what we don't want is the big Red Rose and Taylor Wimpey Barracks, whoever they may be, coming here imposing themselves on us. We need to impose ourselves on them. We need to impose ourselves on how this borough will look going forward, whether it's 535 houses a year or 826. We have to make the developments better, more attractive, and for more opportunities for younger people, or sometimes older people, to get on the property market. So we have to be savvy, not just criticising what's coming down the road from the government, but saying, let's get ready, let's get ahead of the game. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, Councillor Kelly, you mentioned about quality house building. Right. Can we make sure that this council employs reputable builders? I know of one new home where the keys were given over in December. A young woman with two young children, a one-year-old and a two-year-old, taps fitted the wrong way around. Within a few weeks, sink coming off the wall in the bathroom, loud ceiling full of water, so no lighting downstairs throughout the winter. We're now in April and these problems are still waiting to be solved. I repeat, can we make sure we have reputable builders within our borough, building our homes for the future? Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, can I respond to that? Yes. Through you, Mr. Mayor. If I could, I would dearly love to.
What's the Act number or the clause number?
I don't know. Well, it's normally 15.12 for a point of order. Are you making a point of order?
No, I thought you were. Because I was next.
I've got Councillor Phillips next.
Just better put your hand up, so what can I say?
to understand that actually the targets of the borough are not the same as the delivery. It's completely different. So that the 826 figure mentioned, that's not the target figure, that's the delivery. We need to make sure that we're quite clear on the difference between targets and deliveries.
Thank you. Councillor Rose.
Thank you, Mr. Mann. Once again, I do not believe that this amendment to the motion is robust enough to offer any protection for local residents and for our countryside. I would like to also kind of mirror what Councillor Edgeless said about actual building quality. I represent Marston Grange, and some of the actual building quality on that estate is absolutely shocking. I've had several residents who have been electrocuted in their bathroom due to dodgy wiring. We've also had several residents whose showers did not drain because the pipe was running the wrong direction. There's also been dodgy doors, unsealed windows, and many other problems like this. I do not believe that this motion is robust enough, and I do believe that we need to put a lot more impact and a lot more focus on the actual building qualities of these houses. And therefore, I will not be voting for this motion, unfortunately.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I wonder whether we might talk about Voldemort. It's interesting that the Deputy Leader refers to £1 million being spent to investigate and provide an evidence base for Meesbrook. My understanding is it was at least £1.2 million. But equally, that no officers are aligned to any of the work and there's no budget aligned to it, having spent that. So it does surprise me that we're talking about Meesbrook in a future positive, glowing sense that actually it might go forwards, because I don't get any impression from anywhere, and developers, landowners, anyone, that this is something that is actually going to happen. It's fictitious from what I can work out. And I would be very grateful for the clarity that the Deputy Leader gave to be clear, so that we actually can put this one to bed once and for all, because it is the devil that no one talks about, because everyone knows what's going on. So please, can we have this out in the open, because frankly, it's boring. I wanted to really pick up the spirit of the motion. Was about the removal of the voice of the democratic voice of the community. And so the amendment that's in front of us this evening talks about to consider. Well, that feels a bit wishy-washy. And to enjoy a greater influence over important decisions. Actually, we shouldn't be asking for that. That is a right that we have that the government is trying to remove in their wisdom. And that actually makes our residents lose some of their voice. We lose our voice, they lose their voice. And it is really important, as I indicated earlier, that if we're going to take mass development, which is what this government seems to want to bring on us, there is over 1,000 houses in waiting in three settlements near me, between Eccleshaw, Woods Eaves and Nosall, all ready to come. They are going to fundamentally change the communities that we live in. It is really important, if we're going to take any development of any sort, that actually people think really clearly about place. What I don't want to see is mass house building, and then, you know, people live in the new estate and don't mix with the old estate. It is really important to be leaders of place to be able to do this. And the spirit of the motion was about not losing the democratic voice at planning committees and to be able to call in applications. So I, for one, can't support this amendment because it doesn't actually hit the real nub of the issue that we were trying to get to.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, do not let the silver sparkle in my hair fool you. I'm the second youngest elected representative in this council chamber, aside from my colleague, Councillor Rose. And so I am perhaps uniquely placed as the next generation of people who only 2.5 years ago was able to buy my first home after a decade and a half of professional work in this borough. And I can tell you, housing supply was not the problem. The problem was the lack of affordable and properly maintained housing that was available to me in this borough, that was something that people who are now living in this century with these wages and these student loan responsibilities, and what is feasible for people of our generation to afford. And I do count myself as a millennial, despite appearances. What is really important to me is exactly what Councillor Purr has just said. It is about that community involvement and that democratic representation. As some of the youngest people elected into this council, we have that unique responsibility and experience in order to support our residents. Our residents on Marston Grange, for example, as Councillor Rose stated, are suffering in poor quality housing that goes unfettered, unchecked, except for us. And we are incredibly sympathetic ears to those people because we have been at the coalface of the private rental market, of poorly sustained and maintained homes. And building more houses en masse will not solve that problem. We need to send a really clear message to the government that what does solve that problem is clear community engagement, us shaping the housing of the borough for the people of the borough, all of them, not just the people who bought their houses decades ago, and people who are in a position now to be able to forge and make their life here. Otherwise, people simply will not. And it's really, really important that we don't water down, but we are really clear and robust and detailed with what we reflect back to government about this new planning framework and about what's being proposed. So it's why I cannot support the amendment.
Thank you,
Councillor Spencer. Actually, I was the one who was just taking that, Mayor. So I fully support what was just said by the previous speaker and by Jeremy Burr as well. This amendment completely dilutes the spirit of the initial motion. So, again, I stated previously, I wouldn't support this amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It's the voice of it, I think, we're talking about. Our own experience of large developments around our villages. Invariably, larger developments go through, it seems, for all sorts of reasons. But without that voice, the little bits that would have been missed when those developments went ahead, flooding off local fields, developers wouldn't give a hoot about. Well, I know adjacent gardens, I'm thinking of one particular development, would have been flooded by it. Because of the pressure, because of the local voice, we were able to put French drains in and avoid that situation mostly. But it's little things like that. It's local knowledge from local councillors influencing these developments when they happen that are so essential. Communication, connectivity, as was alluded to earlier on, between communities is essential. Somebody in Westminster who's making these decisions and a developer throwing the money around won't give a hoot about such things. We need the local voice.
I've seconded this amendment and I back Councillor Kenny and Councillor McEwen on the lack of accuracies in this. 3.5 million claim, for example. I don't know where that's come from, it's certainly not come from the government. The claim that we're doubling what was being delivered, we're not doubling what was either the previous administration's goal under the current plan or the Reg 18 for options, but it's not doubling delivery. I just don't understand how we can pass something that's got such inaccuracies, and putting that through to someone else will not convince them. We need to have something that's accurate. Councillor is absolutely right. In my research on the growth of housing across our borough, many communities experience 20% growth per decade, right way through the 20th century. Every house we live in was built once, was new once. That growth rate completely slowed down to more like 5% in a lot of our communities. It stifled the ability of people to stay in their village when they grow up. It also stifled the ability of people when they retire to stay in their village when they're not the right housing supply. A limited amount of growth in key services, villages, is absolutely appropriate and sustainable development elsewhere in the borough, where it can be sustained, where the infrastructure is, it needs to utilise that and strengthen it. And where the infrastructure isn't, it needs to be built first. These are the sort of things that we are putting together in the new local plan that we're putting forward. We have that local democratic control on it. And I think this amendment carries the spirit of advising government where they have not got it right and asked them to reconsider, and it follows on from the very public advice that we've already given the government through the announcements we made last autumn and the advice we gave them, which perhaps they didn't listen to. So I am happy to support this amendment to make sure that we talk to government again and remind them of the need as they get an amendment. But I can't support carrying inaccuracies through as to the original motion.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We can see from the discussion that we all recognise this as a vitally important issue for all members and all our residents. I know many in the Chamber share a belief that there's a need to increase house building nationally. However, the imposition of such a high level of mandatory target here in Stafford Borough may have significant and long-lasting adverse impacts on the quality of life of our residents, as we've already heard this evening from several speakers. There's also an understandable concern over the removal of the democratic checks and balances on local decision-making within this local planning authority, as outlined by Councillor Beattie earlier. This amendment reflects those concerns. I hope we can put aside our party's differences, vote in favour of the amendment, and act together, united, in the interests of our borough and of our residents. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Beattie.
So this would bring the right reply to Councillor Beattie's representative.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to point out also a millennial, not a whinging baby boomer, and also kind of question whether, if people are whinging baby boomers, whether that was a personal interest in the motion. I wanted to point out that kind of, section 15.6 of the Constitution says that an amendment is in order as long as the effect of it is not to negate the motion. And I think that really the purpose of this amendment is to negate the motion. The motion itself is there, as has been pointed out, to set out the concern about the loss of democratic involvement in the planning process, to raise really serious concerns about the proposals which central government are making. And I think I hear the concerns around inaccuracies within the motion. That's what the amendment process is for. If you think some of the numbers are wrong, amend the numbers. Don't just delete absolutely everything. I think the deletion of absolutely everything, particularly the sharpness of the concerns which I know our residents have about the massive increase that is proposed in terms of house building, whether they are my age, just about able to get onto the housing ladder, or younger, as the previous speaker, Councillor Rose, I think that this does not give the clear indication that's needed from this council. It does not give the clear indication that's needed from our residents. I would have loved to be able to sit round the table and come to an agreement on a position that we could all agree with. This is not it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Listening to the debate and hearing how you're discussing, it relates to something that happened recently. As I think we're all aware, our MP went to Parliament discussing the issue on Salmon Road in Lovin. She proudly said that she spent the money on 1,200 letters to the community. Representing that area, I didn't distribute 1,200 letters, but I did speak to one. And I went to the Sandon Road petrol station, and I said, have you been invited to this looking meeting and knew anything about it? So we went together, and my presence seemed to create a bit of a group for all of us. But the thing was, any resident in that area would know that if there's anywhere that's likely to need a canoe when the rain starts, it's the Shell garage.
And because this person hadn't been originally from the area and had been and is focusing on them, she was unaware that she'd just gone from the family, they'd gone down to her electoral roll. Michelle Redcarriage didn't appear in that. Now, by removing the local democracy, you're just getting rid of that voice. So the amount of money that can be wasted in one single decision, I think that reflects on it, and I hope I've said that fairly. So there's somebody who's big and powerful and able to put lots of money into distributing letters and to try and hear people's voice, right? If you could. But this flooding issue wasn't to do with somebody who had a house, it was somebody who was in the business. So that person had been completely missed. So by removing this layer of democracy, we're getting rid of local knowledge, and it's going to waste an awful lot of money. I hope I've expressed myself clearly. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, I have something good to say as well.
Surely
not. I'm shocked if that's okay.
Look at this. There's more than
that. And nobody else?
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. It's actually quite disappointing to hear some of the stuff that's been spouted this evening on this particular issue. At the end of the day, it's been said, I'm talking about the democratic deficit here. It's not about what happened in the past and what is going to happen in the future. It's what right have our local people got to be involved in the planning process? And this piece of legislation is going to take that democratic right away. There have been all sorts of red herrings about baby boomers and growth faltering. I mean, it's ridiculous to say that growth has faltered. We went for growth many years ago. We've met our housing targets year on year on year on year. And we've exceeded our targets, in fact. So to say that that growth has faltered in this borough is absolutely ridiculous. It's really serious, this. We cannot let the government just ride roughshod over local people and the knowledge that they have and can contribute to the decisions that are made. And I do hope that we can defeat this very wishy-washy amendment, which actually doesn't address in any shape or form the issues that I raised in the motion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Wishy-washy, I don't think it is. I think if you're going to bring a motion to the table, it needs to be factually correct. This isn't. The information contained in it isn't. I mean, with Councillor Phillips, you know, saying I've got the figure wrong, it clearly states 826 houses per annum within this. I compare like for like, 500 in the current plan, 500 and. No, it's not. But I'm just responding to what people have asked me. Councillor Bird's fictional.
Bought them all.
That's a good point.
Councillor Bird's fiction of Meesbrook is a fiction created by previous administration. With regard to Meesbrook, it's a fiction created by the previous administration, and if they say it's causing delays now, which it is doing, it's up there doing.
We're voting on the amendment, please. All those in favour of the amendment, please show.
Shame.
the rules. You don't like them, but they go.
You will literally regret it.
To amend the original motion?
We can accept.
Yes, sir.
had one motion, and it hadn't been amended, and we would have had a vote tonight, and it had been lost, we would simply move on to the next item of business in the agenda. In this case, we've had the original motion has been amended, and so that's become the original motion. We've then took another vote on that, and it's been lost. So the deliberation is whether it operates exactly the same, and because it's lost now, we just move on to the next item of business on the agenda, or whether the council, whether this meeting can accept another amendment. The rules. So the rules don't specifically deal with this situation. The rules do allow under 14H for council to accept an amendment to a motion.
Second amendment was to happen, it should happen before the vote on the substantive.
Absolutely.
But I think procedurally we should proceed. But more than that, this removes mention of the democratic deficit, which was in the original motion. It changes the intent that was stated by the proposer and the seconder as being the core of what was wanted and was in the amended motion that we put forward. This does not mention that, and so all of the people, whether the original motion or the amended motion, were saying that the democratic deficit is something we should talk about. It's not in this amendment. So I think it substantially changes the intent. So either procedurally or on the basis of the intent of the motion, I think this should come back to a future council.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor. Point of order. Point of order.
I find it difficult to understand the logic of when we can land a motion that's been lost. Surely that's it then, the motion was lost. If people want to change or bring this back to the table, they should bring another motion to the next motion.
Yeah.
Well,
there's
a
good point. Councillor Burton.
Well, the order I was going to make was the last paragraph very clearly talks about the democratic role of councillors, so I think the member opposite might not, in the three pages that are here, adopt the final paragraph.
Some extent there is agreement. I think the motion put forward by the council.
listing the reasons why we get to that thing of valid. But I think the fact that there are some inaccuracies in there need to be addressed. We can't vote on something that has inaccurate things within it. So that would need to be addressed. And then the final bit, where, let me just try to find it. We believe this legislation, etc. You know, that's hypothetical. And then instead of we ask the leader of council rights to the deputy leader, we have the wording as put forward by Councillor Kenny, we ask the leader of rights to the deputy prime minister. So basically, it's all as was the bullet points. Delete the penultimate paragraph and change the last paragraph to the one wording as proposed by Councillor Kenny.
I'm going to stand that as part of this amendment, should we go ahead with, we are going to be looking at these inaccuracies and changing them as part of this amendment process, regarding the numbers and bringing them back into line with what has already been mentioned by Angela Rayner recently in the press release, which I'll just quickly say is 1.5 million homes, not 3.5. So that is an inaccuracy which we will deal with in our amendment along with.
Yes. I'd just like clarification. As far as I'm concerned, you've taken the vote on the motion now, and that's done. So the opportunity is gone. I mean, obviously, you tell me where we are. I think I agree with that.
Yeah, it's
a
strong argument. You should know we need to have amendments before you take votes on the.
Move, we move to next business.
Mr. Mayor, this is, I think, as the monitoring officer indicated, this is uncharted water. But wouldn't it be perverse if process was used to close down the voice of the community when others are also closing down the voice of community on planning committees? And that was the whole purpose of debating this. So frankly, I find the whole of this discussion really perverse.
Oh.
And it is clear the intention of this motion. It is here before the council started. The officers have photocopied this. It is clear that there was an intention to do this. So why would you want to close down the voice of our residents and the democratic role that we have in debating that? Let's not let good be the enemy of perfect. There are things that could be improved with this amendment. Of course there are. But let's go and debate them, and let's not have lost the last hour debating something that you then close back down again. That seems to me to be perverse.
So we need a democratic
vote to
seize the next
business or not. Yes. Yep. Mr. Mayor, before we do that, the final paragraph of this talks about the group leaders of the council resolved to write. It's
so
not
right
there.
Again,
my question is to be moved forward to the next proceeding. All those in favour, please. Anybody against?
Mr. Mayor. Phil, what an evening.
Mr. Mayor, thank you very much. So I'm delighted to present to the Council the new corporate plan 2025-26 to 2027-28 and the outline priority delivery plans for the same years. The current plan ran from 2021 to 2024 and was extended pending review of the Council's priorities and the production of the new plan. There has been considerable change both locally and nationally since the current plan was adopted, and so a full review has taken place over the last few years with consideration given to our aspirations for the borough. From the work done, four overarching priorities which achieve the greatest impact with the resources that are available are the borough economy, sounds like Miss Wilbur's, doesn't it? Borough economy, health and wellbeing of our residents, climate change and our overall environment, and being an effective council. A comprehensive consultation process has been undertaken and taken note of. The results of the consultation are on Appendix 3. Overall, the respondents were supportive of the proposed priorities. The plan will equip us to deliver on major projects the Council has undertaken, such as the redevelopment of the Guildhall and the Co-op buildings. It will also focus Council's thinking on well-being of our residents. And of course, we need to be very mindful regarding climate change and how we can do our best to deliver projects and services in a much greener way. This plan gives Stafford Council clarity on what it is seeking to achieve and allows for a framework to be put in place to deliver this and for performance to be reported against it. Mr. Mayor, may I take this opportunity to thank all the Stafford Council people involved in putting together this comprehensive document that will help us deliver for our people in our borough, even in these uncertain times for local government. I ask members to accept the recommendations as set out in the report. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, corporate plan. Right. Page 6, 5.3 priorities. Health and wellbeing of the people of this borough. How do you intend to address this, please? Example, leisure facilities. Where do we go with that? Also, can I ask, where will this corporate plan sit in 2028 when the reorganisation of the democracy changes? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Given that the corporate plan is largely the same as the previous corporate plan, so the direction of travel is largely the same, it would be very difficult to vote against it. But, and this is the but, what I haven't seen is a renewed ambition for place, for leading place, and being the supportive communities that we know that we need to have. And instead, what it feels like is we're doing a bit more of the knitting, the same as previously, and there isn't sufficient ambition. And I really wish there had been just a bit more ambition for our county town and for our residents in the plan. I think the other thing is that mass development is going to fundamentally change the shape of our communities. We've just spent 2 hours debating some of those elements that we're all passionate about. And I wonder whether the corporate plan really reflects the impact of mass development. Because it is absolutely critical that we hold the developers to account, that they pay for the infrastructure and the services that the additional population that will come to Stafford Borough will change. And that, I don't think, is sufficiently robust in this plan. We need to be able to put this on the developer's desk and say, sorry, you are getting financial benefit by building these houses. Now you need to make sure you recompense those existing communities by making sure the services are no worse than, if not better than, there previously.
It talks about a safe and attractive environment.
Our borough appears to have become a bit of a haven for rubbish, cigarette butts, poo bags, particularly those that seem to be sitting on the top of bins. The bins do not appear to be emptied as much as they have historically. I have raised this twice at scrutiny before anybody mentions that. I do wonder if the administration is underfunding our working street CBT. Do they need additional staff to help them with the amount of houses and new estates, etc., and the fact that that's all impacting on the way that they work and the staff that they have? It's great having more flowers in a flower box in the town centre, but if the place looks unkempt, then it's not really doing an awful lot to enhance the appearance, and it is looking bad. Are we growing our street scene team to cater for this? Because our newer residents are also taxpayers, and they need to know that the borough is in a good condition, and that if we're looking at environmental factors and the way that we're looking at our environmental agenda, then having litter everywhere is not supporting that at all. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. A couple of things. Council Ledger, 2028. We have to carry on as if nothing has happened, because we don't know anything yet, so we have to carry on. So would you rather us not have a call from just a question? Ambition.
Absolutely.
Ambition. Ambition. Goodness sake, ambition. What are we doing in the town centre, for goodness sake? What are we doing to rejuvenate our borough? What are we doing? We're doing major developments at the Guildhall, major developments at the old co-op building. At the moment, the station approach is being reconfigured. These things are happening now. Lack of ambition, for goodness sake. You sat in control of this council for 20-odd years and you did any of these things. As regards poo bags, I'm sorry, I don't know.
This is about the council reviewing the constitution. So no laughter here. No joking matter. Well, Mr. Mayor, this report's been considered by the Resources Scrutiny Committee and is submitted to council with the recommendation that the amendments be approved for implementation in the new municipal year. There are actually 7 recommendations in total, A to G, of varying length. You'll be pleased I'm not going to go through them in all in considerable detail.
Oh, please.
But I could if you like. Yeah. I mean, if you've got nothing else to do,
carry on, Johnson.
Why not? I can give you the long version with pleasure. But I suspect you'd all be asleep halfway through it. But there's one or two of the important ones. I've picked up. Normally you can hear me without this. I must be getting old. The functions, first of all, of the Public Appeals Committee are proposed to be split between the existing Planning Committee for Tree Protection Orders and tree protection order objections, that's an important word, and the licensing committee, and that's for taxi licensing appeals. Now, that's due to the low numbers of these cases that have been dealt with previously by the Public Appeals Committee. And there's also a lack of business available to justify a separate Public Appeals Committee. It'll also allow, actually, member training on these topics to be combined with the training already provided to planning and licensing committee members. Officers also are used to this division, as it has been adopted by Cannock Chase District Council for a number of years, and as you know, we do share services. Now, Councillor Nixon, you're not going to start yawning, are you? Because you'll set me off.
Good. Call for a vote, Mr. Mayor.
I said the report was
very bad. Hang on, it was very speedy.
Is that the wish of the council?
Yes.
That I sit down? I'm very happy to do that, Mr. Mayor. I'm sure we're all perfectly tired of this council meeting. I'm very happy to vote with the will of the council.
Is that second?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I ask council to read the recommendations.
Yes.
It is. Right.
Yes.
Could I just take you're not going to propose the melter all the time.
Wait, when you finish. Before I go any further, does Brendan want to say now, what I'm going to say is really serious, and it's something it's not hilarity. Can I thank, as chairman of the Resources Committee, Ian Curran and his officers for doing all the work on this? And I think sometimes we sit here and debate, we don't thank people enough. So thank you for all of them.
Yeah.